On this issue of funding, the administration has money to send to Lebanon without Congress coming back. But Congress does have to come back to approve money to send to people in North Carolina. Do I have that right?
Here's what I'm going to be very clear about. The president and the vice president has had a robust whole of government response to this. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I said it at the top, more than $200 million that we have directly put towards survivors here for disaster help. And that's because of this president's commitment to make sure that we are there for communities that are impacted. We take this very seriously again. We take this very seriously. And before the hurricane hit, we pre-positioned more than 1,500 federal folks on the ground to help. And so we have made sure that every state has gotten their storm-requested emergency declaration. They requested it, and we made sure they received it. We've taken this very seriously. More than $200 million that we have provided to the impacted areas. But instead, people want to do disinformation, misinformation, which is dangerous, Because then when folks on the ground hear that, they may not want to ask for the help that they need. That is there for them. That's our focus here.
All right. I recognize that voice. I'm sure that was Peter Doocy from Fox and KJP. The press secretary for, well, who's she representing now? Let's see. Oh, I guess Joe Biden's still president. It's really hard to tell. And Vice President Kamala Harris. So the issue to me today that I want to kind of grapple with is it true? Is it true that our government in Washington, led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, have not provided help for people who are victims of Hurricane Helene? Is it true or false? Are people just making things up? Is this internet, gossip? What's happening? Well, I want to make the point. We'll just listen. I want to play lots of clips for you and let you assess whether or not our government is failing us and worse. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us. You might have stories yourself about what you've seen in the hurricane. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can go to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Getter or Truth Social, YouTube or Telegram to find some of information. Sandy Rios Tweet, at Sandy Rios Tweet is my Twitter handle, which is where I actually comment the most. You can listen on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base, American Family Radio, but Spotify, Amazon, Apple, all of those and others are, host Sandy Rios 24/7. So that's really nice. You can also listen at sandyrios.com if that's easier for you. Well, the left is zealous for the blood of babies, going as far as supporting free abortions at the DNC. You remember that? Kamala's extreme radical stance for abortion is evidence in her running mate. As First Things reported, Tim Walz supports the right to infanticide. Infanticide is the taking of a baby's life after birth. It's insanity. The media has dubbed this as the abortion election. We have to stand up to this evil. And when you join forces with Preborn, the largest pro-life organization in the nation, you are protecting the greatest victims in our society, babies in their mom's wombs. Preborn network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas in the nation, and they have rescued over 300,000 babies. When a woman considering abortion searches to end her baby's life, Preborn is there. The power of the ultrasound combined with God's love doubles a chance for the baby's life. One ultrasound is just $28 and five ultrasounds, $140. Just give as generously as you can. We've talked about it every day I've been on this podcast. And I hope that you'll continue giving. And maybe some of you are new and have never contributed. But if you this pricks your conscience and you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, is the government refusing or holding back or obstructing help to the people of Western North Carolina, to Western Tennessee, areas of Georgia, areas of Florida? Are they helping or not? What is the truth? We'll discuss that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
One of our friends yesterday, they were actually escorting CNN down a late lure, and they wouldn't even let CNN, the sheriff department would not let them go videotape the bad areas, how destructive it is. I don't know why they don't want to show you all that, but I mean, it is bad. I should also say, when I flew here on Sunday, they actually stopped us from going in. Everybody wants to pretend like they're being the hero while these people are literally dying in the mountains. And these people, like I'm saying, these people are limited medication. They're running out of oxygen, and there's no one going to get them. The most effective way I have found to go find these people is by getting in a helicopter and flying down the rivers and roads and looking for SOS messages or people waving us down. And then we drop down and get them. We have all these people here. We have law enforcement. We have State Guard, National Guard. They have no way to go get these people. Yesterday, when I was at the Asheville Airport refueling, which, by the way, the civilian is paying all this out of his own pocket. He's not even looking for a reimbursement. I think we did 4 refuelings yesterday. And that was like just in half a day's work. We're in Asheville, and I saw 2 Air Force helicopter 60s. And I knew they were PJs just looking at them. And I went up to them, like, hey, guys, like, what are y'all doing? And, like, this is what you need to be doing. This is how I'm finding people. And they're like, we can't go. We're waiting on Title 10 orders. And I'm like, what? They can't get any authority. There's military helicopters all over here sitting on the ground, and they can't do nothing. Even my JSOC boys in Fayetteville, they can't get orders to come out here. It is just the most disgusting thing, and they're killing these people. And I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what kind of conspiracy. I've heard so many things, whatever you want to come up with, but they are literally allowing these people to die in the mountains right now because we can't get helicopters. They got money for everything else in the world right now, but if they could just get us helicopters, we could fly out there and rescue these people. So I hope this video goes viral. I hope these politicians get fired. I hope people get pissed off. They'll probably kick me out of the state of North Carolina for doing this, but you know what? I don't care, because if I can save one more life for it, it's worth it to me.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was from a few days ago. It's not current, but people are asking the question, is this true or not? We have friends in North Carolina who are seeing the same thing, but I think we have to make the case. And I think we will make the case today. I think that you'll have a better understanding. So we were hearing right away, Bruce and I were driving, and we were hearing right away, we went to Washington, D.C., and we drove, so it was a very long trip. But we were hearing right away that there was supplies, helicopters, there was all kinds of obstruction. In fact, I'll give you one example, another example. So we have people are using drones to find people who are lost. By the way, I heard yesterday that in one tree, the rescuers said they found something like 10 bodies. I heard others describe bodies floating down the river, body parts floating down the river. I've heard the most horrendous stories. And civilians have been using drones to try to find people that were stranded. And Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg chimed in on this. Let's hear what he had to say. This is clip 4.
Our goal is to make sure that funding is no obstacle to very quickly getting people the relief that they need and deserve. There's also some safety issues that come up. For example, temporary flight restrictions to make sure that the airspace is clear for any flights or drone activity that might be involved in helping to allow those emergency responders to do their job.
Yes, so they took the drones out. They wouldn't let people use drones. I heard that on other avenues, too, and they said, that's how we're finding people. That's how we're spotting them. So Pete Buttigieg, because of, you know, air safety. The other thing they started doing is there are all kinds of private helicopters going in there. People, as you heard that first guy say, out of their own pocket, paying for this, the gasoline, the manpower, just running the plane itself, the pilot time, spending their own money, and they grounded them. I heard one story about a helicopter pilot who went in and saved, it was a couple, somewhere in the mountains. They were able to take the wife, they got her out, they were going to go back for the husband, and the authorities on the ground, federal authorities, would not let them go back, so they weren't able to save him. We're hearing all kinds of stories about that. So what is the truth? Well, we're hearing that the military, the point was made that Fort Bragg is there in North Carolina, that's special forces. They would not allow them to go out. They held them back from saving people. None of us understand this, except maybe we'll have a kind of an understanding after we finish this discussion. This is a girl who served in the Army. I'm surprised she'll probably get in trouble for speaking out. But she was in her car, and she was very frustrated. Her frustration was that she was hearing from her friends, and they were saying, why aren't you going in? Why aren't you helping? What are you not doing? And this is why she went on and did this kind of a monologue. We've edited quite a bit of it. But this is clip 5. Let's listen.
We are doing as we're told. We are doing the best that we can. People are like, oh, why don't y'all just use mules, this, that, and the third? We are talking about the government, okay? Like, moment of silence. We're talking about the government. I need y'all to open your minds and use your brain. There are certain things we can and cannot do. And I'm not frustrated with you. I'm just frustrated with the situation in general, because I feel like a lot of people are getting a lot of misinformation. Lake Lure is not, we cannot get to Lake Lure with the Humvees. We cannot get to Lake Lure with the Humvees because, one, there's mudslides. Two, there's, like, I think, landslides. Three, we can't even fit. Four, like, it's cut off. It's all just rubble. There's no way to get there other than on foot or flying. They're not going to let us go on foot. They're not going to. I don't know why. They're just... Listen, I'm literally learning, and I'm telling y'all, or trying to tell y'all, because I can't even tell y'all everything. People are asking, why don't we use animals or four-wheelers and stuff like that? They have to approve whatever that is. They have to approve it before we're able to do it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense at all, because that's what's happening. I heard other things. I heard that volunteers were being told to go home. In other areas, I heard volunteers had to be trained by the government before they could go in and volunteer. So they were stopping volunteers. They were telling volunteers to go home. This is in the middle of the worst parts of this storm. Of course, it's ongoing, the relief effort. But I don't even know if there are people still living. I'm not sure people know that. But Bruce, I've asked Bruce to join me because what else were we hearing? Do you remember anything else?
Well, this whole thing is crazy. And it just shows you the disconnect between people who are career politicians and regular people. People that are career politicians, they worry about, well, we have rules and we have funding and we have to make sure that we're following the guidelines. Meanwhile, people like you and I, people like our listeners, we're regular people. We see people dying because they are not getting water, they are not getting medical attention, they do not have shelter, they do not have food. And our natural reaction is, let's load up the wagons and get there and get them some help, whether it be by helicopter, by mule, by four-wheelers, by boat, you know, people like the Cajun Navy that have come and helped. And what is infuriating is that these people are not only being discouraged from providing this help, they are being threatened by arrest in many places and told that if you fly in there, when you come back, we will arrest you. If you trespass, quote unquote, into this area, you will be arrested. That's insanity.
Well, I think I actually see it a lot more darkly than you do. I don't think it's just politicians. I think there's something really nefarious here. And, you know, here's a kind of a, people have speculated that the reason Kamala is not sending a lot of help, and we'll get into what she actually is doing in just a second here, is that North Carolina and Tennessee, these are very red areas. These are white people for the most part, not all of them, of course. This is where, you know, home base for white voters who support President Trump and conservative values, and that there's a deliberate effort here. So are they thinking that way? I don't know. Well, David Axelrod, who was and is an advisor to many presidential candidates, and that started with Obama. He's from Chicago. We know him well. He's a radical leftist, but he always sounds sane. He actually sounds sane. It's really funny. But you have to know about David Axelrod. He's done a tremendous amount of damage to this country because he's a very smart man, and he's given some very good advice to people that want to destroy it. But he had an observation about this situation. This is clip 7.
Here's my question about North Carolina. You had these killer storms, which, by the way, was a third big story this week.
Yes,
killer storms. And there's a lot of displacement in western North Carolina. Now, Asheville is a blue dot in that area, but there are a lot of Republican voters there.
I was
going to
say, Asheville's key.
But those voters in Asheville are, they're, you know, the kind of voters who will figure out a way to vote. You know, they're upscale kind of liberal voters, and they're probably going to figure out a way to vote. I'm not sure a bunch of these folks who've had their homes and lives destroyed elsewhere in western North Carolina in the mountains there are going to be as easy to wrangle for the Trump campaign.
Yeah, I just say maybe not, you know, might not be so easy for them. And I see them doing all kinds of things. I just was told that a lot of the voter registration has disappeared because businesses or registration places are destroyed. And so what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And could the lack of rescue effort be connected with their politics? Just wonder.
And wow, just listen to the tone of Axelrod. Upscale voters live in Asheville. The rest of Western North Carolina is a bunch of yahoos, is what I heard. And if you don't think that this is influencing the response of the Biden administration and the Harris administration, I think you're living in a dream world. And as Sandy said, as we work our way through today, we are going to bring you news about how FEMA designates where things go and how they prioritize. And I tell you, it makes me sick to my stomach.
And if you are abhorrent to you to think about how that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the people that surround them would actually intentionally not help in this complete and utter disaster because it's in red areas, or even if it's in a blue area, but not giving, not bringing, according to people on the ground, and obstructing people that want to help in every way possible. If you think that's right, how could they possibly do that? I want to point out to you that if people will kill babies at any point during the 9 months in which their mother is carrying them and have no conscience about that, and afterbirth sometimes, and have no conscience about that, what makes you think they'll have a conscience about letting thousands of people die in a hurricane if it will help them politically? What makes you think? I don't think. I think it's very, very suspicious. I want to say, just to fill in some blanks here, Kamala Harris gave this generous speech about they're going to give each person affected by the disaster $750. That's the generosity. That coming on the heels of FEMA announcing they were out of money. They were out of money. That's what they told us. They didn't have money to help in this disaster. So Kamala comes forward and says, we'll give each person $750. That's their brilliant solution.
Meanwhile, every illegal immigrant coming into this country has been given at least twice that much money, plus many other amenities. And now Kamala Harris tells us, well, FEMA is out of money.
Yes. And then she makes an announcement, because this is what Peter Ducey was coming after Corinne Jean-Pierre at the White House press briefing in the opening clip. So this is Kamala's big post. And this happened, this was October the 5th, and the hurricane struck like just a few days before this. Are you ready? From Vice President Kamala Harris, the people of Lebanon are facing an increasingly dire humanitarian situation. I am concerned about the security and well-being of civilians suffering in Lebanon and will continue working to help meet the needs of all civilians there. To that end, the United States will provide nearly $157 million in additional assistance to the people of Lebanon for essential needs such as food, shelter, water, protection, and sanitation to help those who have been displaced by the recent conflict. This additional support brings total U.S. assistance to Lebanon over the last year to over $385 million. Now look, America used to be the breadbasket for the world, and we helped people wherever there was a need. And I've got no problem with that. I'm proud of that record. But this coming on the heels of telling those people who are still hanging on to trees, hungry. I've heard incredible stories. I heard one special services guy talk about a good friend of him. He served with a special forces guy on the roof with his family, desperate, no one to help them. And they're going to give them $750 if they could even find them. They have to sign up for it. And as I understand, they're making that very difficult. And they're telling us that FEMA's out of money and they're sending this money to Lebanon. That is a crime. That is absolutely horrendous. And it actually takes me back to a clip I played in a show just recently. And that was a Palestinian who's American now, of course, United States citizen, talking about how he wants to break Israel into pieces. They should be destroyed, this American. And this is what goes through my mind, ladies and gentlemen. Just to make the point again, we have people living among us, and some of them in the White House, who hate this country. They hate who we are, what we stand for, our principles, our history, and they are bound, hell-bent, you might say, on destroying it. Okay, so let me go back to Peter Doocy's exchange with Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House, because he's not letting her off the hook about giving money to Lebanon. Karine Jean-Pierre said in the press conference that they can't send more money to the people that are suffering, people that are hungry, starving, needing all the things that Kamala listed in this list for Lebanon's needs. They can't send more money to them beyond the $750 till Congress comes back and authorizes it. That's what she said. However, Peter's saying to her, so you can send $157 million to Lebanon for humanitarian aid without Congress coming back, but you can't send it to the American people without Congress coming back? So that's the exchange. This is the second half. Let's listen.
But President Biden is fond of saying, show me your budget and I will tell you what you value. If he's got money for people in Lebanon right now without Congress having to come back, what does it say about his values? There's not enough money right now for
his
people
values,
in North Carolina
his,
who need it. That's not misinformation.
Wait. No, that is your whole premise of the question is misinformation, sir.
Yes, it's misinformation.
I just mentioned to you that we provided more than $200 million to folks who are impacted in the area, and I just shared with you that people are deciding
to Congress that there's not enough money to help people.
We're talking
Carolina
about the SBA disaster loan.
That's
yes.
money for people in North
that,
Carolina.
And that's important, and people in North Carolina need that. This is nothing new. Congress comes together, they provide money, millions of dollars, for disaster relief. We're asking them to do the job that they have been doing for some time.
From a letter that President Biden
sent to
Johnson,
McConnell, time.
Schumer, and Jeffries. The president's letter is not misinformation. Would you agree?
No, the way you're asking me the question is misinformation.
Okay, misinformation. It's not possible that this is wrong or that, you know, this, wow. It's a brain twist. It is like the Mad Hatter. It truly is like Alice in Wonderland. And so you have to really be able to concentrate and have God just help your mind stay clear, or they will run circles around you. I don't think Karine Jean-Pierre is very good at that, and she didn't do that with Peter, but that is what's happening on a daily basis. Well, there is another reason why FEMA is not helping. And we're going to talk about that in just a second, right after this break. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. By letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance of life doubles. I tell you about that every time we talk, but I just want to tell you again and hope that you will support in the very most generous way that you can Preborn. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's Preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Being a migrant children, there is an undocumented concern. There is also a concern of whether they would trust the people, places that are offering shelter that are faith-based because of the way they've been responded to in the past. Then if they are accepted, what would happen in terms of misgendering, in terms of bedrooms and bathrooms, etc. And then in addition, public safety once they're inside from those who are actually sheltering with them. All those concerns are there.
Right, so that's the FEMA training director on a Zoom call. That's just part of it. And Bruce, can you just kind of give us the circumstances? I want to play the whole clip in just a second. Who's speaking and what's, can you kind of give us an idea?
Well, the person speaking there is Riley Hurst, a financial management specialist at FEMA. And while we have these thousands and thousands of people that need shelter as quickly as possible, instead of worrying about how are we going to take care of them, here's what she's spending her time on. She is concerned about the possibility that illegal alien transvestites may be misgendered in shelters. In other words, I guess the workers there before they help someone are supposed to identify what sex are you? What are you identifying as? What are you? What is your plumbing? And then we're going to put you accordingly. Instead of worrying about, we've got 1,000 people outside trying to get inside here to be helped, we're going to spend an hour trying to figure out who this person is. And then I assume, based upon what they're saying, is then they will try to provide like a specialized area for this person to be in. I don't know if you've ever been in one of these shelters. I've gone to one during a hurricane. You know, everyone's in there together. They set up restrooms. You go to the restroom you need, and there's an area to change, and it's not like it's dangerous or anything like that. The only time I've ever heard of problems like that was during Katrina when they housed people in the Superdome, and there was not a good job done of protecting people. But that was years ago. I can tell you, these people would be safe no matter what shelter they go into.
Okay, so as I watched the video, and I'm going to play the whole thing in just a second. It's not that long, the clip that we have. But she's the training director. And as you look at her, she's of uncertain gender. Let me just say that, as is the next speaker after that. People of uncertain gender talking about the main thing, what FEMA has to be thinking about. And you're going to hear it again. We have this problem with like faith-based groups, and they'll misgender these people, and we're worried about bathrooms and their safety. And then the other girl who has a problem keeping her cat quiet has a response. So let's listen to the whole clip. This is clip 14.
Sparked a few things in my mind, thinking about preparedness and how you said, you know, LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling. They already have their own things to deal with. So you add a disaster on top of that, it's just compounding on itself. And I think that is maybe the why of why we're having these discussions, is because it isn't being talked about. It isn't being socialized. We're not paying attention to this community. Thank you so much. Maggie.
Thank you. There are a couple of things that are intersecting in my mind here. One of them is the culture of emergency management as an organization, as an industry in the United States specifically, not abroad. This has, and my cat sometimes does this, she gets really loud suddenly, so you'll have to just allow for the little meowing in the background. The shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles, where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people, to disaster equity. But we have to do more, right? And so this topic is intersecting, I think, with a number of other topics where we have to look at policies and understand to what extent they have disadvantaged communities that had less assets, communities that had pre-existing vulnerabilities in accessing disaster-related recovery supports.
All right, she's not talking about the poor. She's not even talking about Black people. She's talking about transgender people having special needs. And if this comes their way, we, of course, now the conclusion is here, they're not going to help these regular, whatever, cisgender, regular male, female people. They have to put their emphasis on people who are sexually messed up. That's not what they say.
Well, they're certainly not going to help Christian people, because you already heard it in the clip before, how they identify that these faith-based organizations are the ones that are going to discriminate against people that are transgender. And
misgender them.
Yeah. Can you imagine? You have people literally dying, and FEMA is spending their time doing some kind of calculation that we have to identify the people that have been what they call disadvantaged in the past, and we have to give them the aid before other people. And if you think I'm kidding, I'll read this directly from FEMA. This is their executive order that was part of Joe Biden's executive order back in 2021. Underserved communities, as well as specific identity groups, often suffer disproportionately from disasters. I don't know how that happens, but it does. As a result, disasters worsen inequities already present in society. This cycle compounds the challenges faced by these communities and increases their risk to future disasters. By instilling equity as a foundation of emergency management and striving to meet the unique needs of underserved communities, the emergency management community can work to break this cycle and build a more resilient nation. So... And then it goes on, and they added, proactively prioritizing actions that advance equity for communities and identifying groups that have historically been underserved or disproportionately affected by disasters is critical for their resilience.
And again, they're not talking about the poor. They're not talking about the people of the mountains in Tennessee and Western North Carolina. By the way, to set the record straight, North Carolina, the places that were hit, some of them are some of the richest people, very capable, highly educated. North Carolina is a retirement state, sometimes as much as Florida, just people that are very capable. And actually, I know that many of them have said in exasperation, we don't want the government. We're taking care of each other, and we don't even want them here. So don't come in because we see what they're doing. But FEMA, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's what they're practicing. And that was by decree of President Joe Biden, what you said, 2021.
Yeah. Okay. He signed an executive order, so it was in June, right after he came into power in January. And if you want to look at why FEMA is structured the way they are, just look at their commissioner, Deanna Criswell, their secretary. She is over FEMA. She's previously worked for Bill de Blasio as the commissioner of the New York City Emergency Management, and she also worked for Obama under his FEMA department. And right now she works for, guess who, Alejandro Mayorkas.
I was just going to say that. Mayorkas, yeah, who's really almost the devil himself on the border, yeah, and his craft, his...
because FEMA is under DHS.
His insolence, his cold, cold-hearted determination to be, you know, not happy, unhappy at all that Americans are suffering. You know, the House tried to impeach him. I think they did impeach him, but the Senate wouldn't hear it because of what he's done. He's caused all of these people single-handedly to come across our border without restraining, and all the while saying, having the nerve to say in Congress that the border's closed, nobody's coming in. That was a lie. We all knew it was a lie, but that's who's over FEMA. So I ask you, I started out with this question. Do you think it's possible that our government, this government, is doing, not giving aid and actually holding back and actually actively doing things to harm the people of Western North Carolina, Western Tennessee, Georgia, Florida? You think that's possible? I sure do.
And you know, it's been made point time after time that North Carolina is going to be a critical state in the Electoral College for this 2024 election. And you heard that tape you played of David Axelrod. He's not worried about the blue voters in that area, because as he said, they're very sophisticated.
They're very smart, those Asheville
people.
They'll
figure out a way how to vote. But these rubes, like the rest of us that live in Western North Carolina, nope, we're not going to be able to figure out how to vote. So problem solved.
You know, I actually heard that they were actually sending aid to Asheville while they were neglecting other places. Asheville, if you've not been, is just a hippie town. And that to me is not a compliment. It's a seedy, I know it's got some beautiful things. It's certainly a beautiful location, but it's you can see that it's very infected by the attitudes and practices of the left, drugs, and it's just not a place. We've been there, and I didn't enjoy it. I just felt like, but they're the ones that were getting the aid because I guess you know they're really much smarter. And
you know, Sandy, it's so insulting to people. A few years ago now, I went to Nashville when they had a storm, and I went with 8 Days of Hope. And they're a faith-based organization. And let me tell you, they set up the most amazing places for people to come and be sheltered in. And I'll guarantee you, no one was asked when they went in, you know, any discriminating type questions. They're there to give you food. They're there to give you a place to take a shower. They're there to give you a place to sleep if you need. This is a total fallacy that they're talking about. And you know what they'll do? FEMA will find one person that has been quote unquote misgendered, and that will be the poster boy or girl or whatever for their point that you know, we need to hand out this aid in a more equitable way so that people that are disadvantaged traditionally receive it.
Well, to go back to that phone call, they said they spelled it out. They said we have to rethink disaster relief has been sort of for the greater good to help the most people. But now we are implementing disaster equity. Disaster equity. Yeah. So I wanted to have one last story because this is not in our country. This could be an American. They weren't clear about this. But a $100 million naval ship under command of a lesbian captain ran aground, caught fire, and sunk. Her name is Captain Yvonne Gray, and they abandoned ship. People were saved, but the ship is totaled. And so Radio NZ New Zealand reported that an oil spill could be seen from the shipwreck for many miles along the Samoan shore. Some speculated that the commander had been hired to satisfy diversity, equity, inclusion because she had no experience. They put her in charge of a $100 million ship. And so one critic in New Zealand said, you don't cut your teeth on a $100 million ship. Now we have an environmental disaster on our hands caused by the very people who are always crying about the environment. A ship worth over $100 million gone. And for what? Perversity, iniquity, and delusion, said another critic. And so it's a disease that's happening around the Western world, the Western world, and it's a it's going to have a real effect, and we're seeing it now, I think, in this hurricane. So, honey, thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. And our prayers go out to those people that are suffering this earthquake from this hurricane. And we know we have another one on the way, Milton. And we know already that the devastation is predicted to be terrible. And we do pray, God, that you would have mercy on us.
Yes.
I know we may not deserve it, but have mercy on us, please.
We do pray that, and I thank you. All right, yes, and we pray for all those people. And by the way, Samaritan's Purse is my favorite. I just think Samaritan's Purse is a place where you can trust all your donations, and also they're asking for volunteers. So just as a practical word to all of you in case you can help. This is going to be going on for several months, and especially with a new hurricane coming, and we'll talk about more about that later. Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. I want to thank our sponsor, especially Timothy Plan, because you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.